Welcome back. Tim Gossage in the chair for the next hour and a half. We're right around the country on SEN, of course. Don't forget, try a deluxe iced coffee at McCafe today. Not too far away, we'll be chatting with Chris Rogers, of course. He was part of the SEN commentary team, of course. What an amazing test match it was as well. Stu from Cronulla says, don't forget the likes of Kari Webb. No, we've got to get it all covered off. Fantastic. Yes, Kari Webb is another one. And we've had lots of love for Jan Stevenson. Terry Gale, thank you, Podge, from Werribee. Let's talk cricket after the exploits of Sydney yesterday. Some believe it might have been one that got away for Australia, but it really was refreshing for a series that's already dead and buried that England would show so much fight. Part of the commentary team was, of course, Chris Rogers, who's been kind enough to join us on SEN around the country. It's a good test match, Chris. Anyone who doesn't like test cricket, well, they would now, because that was one of the perfect scenario for a 5-day test.
Yeah, hello, Goss. What a great way to finish that test. There's a bad echo on this line.
Yeah, we are having a lot of phone troubles. Sorry, Chris. You are coming on air loud and clear, so we do apologise. If you can just push through, mate, just stodgy your way at the top of the order, that'll be great.
No, got to hear my own voice. That's
I know. Nice, I know. It's not great.
I think that the way it finished was incredible, really. It was almost meant to happen, the fact that Jack Leach got out right at the end and Jimmy Anderson had to come in and face that last over and with Stuart Broad. So, great drama. Good to see a test match finish like that in many respects. It is interesting. You have a game that goes for 5 days and ends in a draw, but still can be exciting.
It can. Keep pushing on. Chris Rogers, if you're hearing him slightly on delay, it's because we are having some echo problems through our audio lines, but we are working on that as we go. So Chris, if you were Australia, and it's very hard to mark their card badly, what did they get wrong? Why couldn't they get the job done?
Oh, that's a tough question, I think. There's people who are a bit critical of the declaration, but in many respects, I thought they declared earlier than they were expected to. That they came out on after tea on day four, and I thought they were going to bat for 25 of the 38 overs that were available. In the end, they only batted for 21. They scored so quickly. So in some respects, they were ahead of that, but it looked like they had way too many runs in the bank, so potentially could have declared earlier. But apart from that, you've just got to try and create chances on that last day, and the pitch got pretty flat. It happened the same against India. It almost happened in reverse order. There's more happening on the first few days than it does in the last 2 days. So I think they were a little bit wary of that as well. But in the end, they just couldn't quite take or create the chances, and it didn't go their way.
Yeah. All right. So let's now focus down on Hobart, and all things being equal, we do have a match down there. I saw it was underwater yesterday, some of the social media pictures of the rain they've had down in Hobart. To our Tassie listeners, if you are listening, let us know the conditions down there on our text line or give us a call as well. Hard to leave Uzi out. Impossible to leave him out. Is Harris in the gun, or does Head just miss for the sake of, what do they say? Possession is 9/10 of the law?
It's a really tough question for me to answer, Goss, because I'm as coach of the Victorian side, I dearly want Marcus Harris to stay on that side. Usman Khawaja has done himself no harm, that's for sure. I think he probably expected Dhoni to come in for one test, knowing that Travis Head was going to be available for that fifth test. But, you know, to get 200s in the same game, there's not much more you can do. So there's a tough choice now for the selectors. I don't envy them one bit, because I think in some respects Marcus Harris has got better throughout the series, and even in this test, you know, he got 37 and 20 odd and batted for a fair bit of time and just gave a little bit of protection to that middle order. So he did an okay job. So it's, as I said, it's going to be a tough choice.
Very much so. And it's also tough for the bowlers as well. Jai Richardson probably champing in the bit to get a recall as well. Stark is the one. You know, is he 100% fit? It's hard to tell. Again, when you're sort of in that in that midst of the bowling group, and you can't drop Boland. On the Adelaide form, you've got to play Richardson. Hazelwood's a bona fide gun. Cummins is the captain. Stark is a pink ball expert. Oh, my dear, you wouldn't want to be a selector.
No, it's going to be a tough one. I mean, I think it'll come down to how Mitch Stark is feeling as well. He's put a lot into this series. I mean, probably if potentially the man of the series for the first three tests. And now do you rest him? Do you just say, okay, mate, like you've given everything and you can have a break, or the fact that he is a pink ball specialist, do you keep him in? But and all the points count now with the World Test Championship. There's no real dead rubbers. So that's going to be a tough one. I'd potentially say he might sit out and Jai Richardson would come in. I think the selectors really want to have another look at Richardson. But, you know, it might even come down to what Pat Cummins wants as well. So it's going to be a really tricky selection, that one.
It is. Again, I'm in a faraway place, Buck, as you well know. Did grey cricket go ahead on the weekend in Victoria?
It did, albeit we seem to have rain that happens every weekend. So it was a little bit rain affected. But, yeah, we had Premier Cricket this weekend. I'm not sure if you're going towards this, but, yeah, Will Pekowski played his first game back in a long time and scored 40. He's even coming in to have another hit now. I think he just wants to work on a little technical thing. So he's just, you know, I think he's got the passion back and he wants to keep going and hopefully be ready for the first Shield game.
Yeah, well, that's great news. Yeah, I was alluding to that. I was just unsure about his situation. I haven't cast my eye on that, so I do apologise. But, oh, that is great news. And it's just more importantly, let's just hope that's a small step in what is going to be a return for him and whatever level he can get to in the not-too-distant future. And we do hope that he can return to the test scene. Just in the last one for you, Buck, and we really appreciate you against the technical issues that we've got. Just tell me about England. I mean, they take a lot out of it. I watched the interview that Gilly did live on the Fox coverage. I was just walking past the TV and I swear to God, Joe Root had tears in his eyes that he had been clearly emotional, that there had been some genuine ticker shown by his group. And I think he was very proud of what the boys did on that last day.
Yeah, I mean, the squad's been under so much pressure and no doubt just amongst themselves, there would have been a lot of questions asked. And even he might have felt that he's let the side down with maybe some of the choices he's made as well. So to see them kind of escape that last moment, if Jimmy Henderson had got out in that last over, I mean, that just would have been the most awful thing for England to happen. So for them to fight through, I think that sometimes that gives you just a huge amount of relief to show your team's still there fighting. And trying hard not to lose. So, you no doubt he was emotional. They've been through the ringer a little bit. And they've played a lot of cricket over the last 12 to 18 months, so which means they've been on tour a bit as well. So, no doubt he's a bit exhausted, but they've got to get up for one more test. And it's going to be tough in Hobart. I think a lot of the times it is a pretty flat wicket down there, so they've got their work cut out for them. Just with the way that their bowlers are, that they don't have a lot of express pace, so it's going to be challenging again.
That was Jared Gunn when Chris Rogers was coming out to bat. Not Chris Rogers, when James Anderson was coming in. Yeah, when James Anderson was coming out to bat, he was giving it everything. It was like it was World Wrestling Federation.
Yeah, well, I think you know, but he's a huge WWE fan, so I think he'd been lining that one up for a while. It was absolutely brilliant. He just didn't quite get the nickname, the Burnley Express, in the middle of Jimmy Anderson, but it was a magnificent job. I think I was just sitting next to him laughing, so it was great to hear that. I've listened back to it a couple of times and it made me chuckle as well. So it
certainly was. Yeah, it was good
to be a part of that.
Yeah, it was. It was a great test match. And for anyone who's sort of thought that dead rubbers existed in test match cricket, you only have to see that battle which was out there at the SCG. And let's hope we can pick that up and take it down to Hobart and that our Tassie listeners to attend the test match get something similar for 5 days in the pink test, the fifth test of the series. Appreciate your time. Thanks for sticking in there, mate, with all the craziness in your ears. You've got a beautiful voice. Don't be ashamed, mate. We're, not all of us have got great voices, mate, but you and I are in the club that we're okay.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if anyone likes hearing their own voice, but there you go. No, pleasure. Thanks for having me, Doc.
Good on you, mate. There's Chris Rogers, part of the SEN commentary team, and also on the backup news that Will Pekowski is coming into Vic headquarters this morning for a bit of a technical little issue with his grade form on the weekend. But isn't that great that Will's got the bat back in the hands, and we'd love to see Will Pekowski because he is the future of the Australian opening position. What are your thoughts? Let us know on our open line. Of course, get in touch with us. Thanks to sydneysbsfence.com.au. For temporary fence and toilet hire, head to sbsfence.com.au. Sydney's number one, or you can text Temper, a mattress like no other. Do you see any hope for Marcus Harris to keep his spot on the back of Khawaja? Or do you think head comes in, Khawaja goes back to the top of the order? But Khawaja didn't make his runs as an opener in Sydney. So why, you know, do you want to just mess with what you got? Wouldn't it be better with the series already gone that Travis Head just sits it out? He just sits it out. Because Jai Richardson was ready to come back in, but he couldn't get back in because Scott Boland made runs. So maybe they should go down the same line, of course, that they did with the bowlers, where Boland kept his spot in the team for the Sydney Test on the back of what he did in Melbourne, and that Richardson lost his spot because he was out injured. Boland came back in. Hazelwood doesn't come back in. And they could do the same with the bat. Keep Marcus Harris, who's not hopelessly out of form. And I'm getting texts for people saying he hasn't scored a century in 17 tests. It's not that easy to do. And you're at the top of the order, and his job is to try and stay in and take the shine off the new ball. And he did that in the Sydney Test. And I thought he batted okay, and he certainly made some runs as well. 0433 98 11 16, if you want to give us a call. Of course, we'll get a break away. Let's go to Jeff. He wants to talk about Jeff's in Manor Lakes. G'day, Jeff. You want to talk about Marcus Harris? No, we'll come back to that. We'll get a breakaway. We do have to get a breakaway. We'll come back to Jeff in Manor Lakes and all your calls as well to talk all things cricket. Well done, Zoe. Good work by you. Stay with us. This is Afternoons on SEN Around the Country.